2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. You know, we declared this a year of extraordinary favor. Praise God. Extraordinary favor showing up on your life. God's got favor showing up on your life. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of condemnation is the teaching of the law. So if the ministry or the law of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness by faith exceeds much more in glory. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds that glory. Man, you got to get a hold of this morning, because this is powerful stuff right here. I'm going to tell you, amen. Hallelujah. Hold up your Bible this morning. Come on, let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to give somebody a high five and say, get ready for that manifestation. Praise God. Wow, amen. Get ready for that manifestation. Anybody ready for a manifestation? Amen, get ready for it. Praise God, I'm telling you. You know what's going on in this world is the gospel of grace is awakening the hearts of people. Grace is being taught all over this world, and people are waking up to what they have in Jesus Christ. It is so powerful to see the lives that grace is changing. Amen? So all over the world, people are being enlightened to what they have already in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so God is doing this in an amazing way. God's abundance grace is being seen like never before. It's being manifested like never before. The ministry of righteousness is the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of righteousness is the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of righteousness is the ministry of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince you that you are righteous. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I used to think it was there to point out my sin and convict me. No, he's really here to point out my righteousness and to convict me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts us of our unbelief, if we're not a believer, amen, to be and see that we are righteous in Christ. Turn to someone and say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible tells us that we are in Christ and he is in us. And because of that, we are just like him. Religion tells us otherwise. And it takes faith on our part to accept and believe this truth. The only thing that's stopping us from believing is a wrong behavior motivated by our doubt. Wrong behavior motivated by our doubt. Under grace, we move from condemnation, the Bible says, to what? To righteousness when we are in Christ Jesus. Under grace, we have moved from being condemned to knowing that now we are righteous. And when you know that you're righteous, right living, righteousness, right believing leads to right living. And you come out of condemnation and you're in righteousness, now you know you're in the place to receive all that God has for you. Before that, you were in doubt because you didn't know whether you were ever going to be righteous. But when you understand who you are in Christ, now you are righteous and can receive all that God has for you. Oh, come on, somebody, amen. So the ministration or the ministry of condemnation is the result of operating under the law. The ministry of righteousness is not based on what we do, but on what Jesus has done. Amen. It's not based on what we do, but what he has done. And there are a lot of manifestations of glory in the Old Testament. What is glory? Glory is the manifestation of God's presence in our life. The glory of the Lord shone all around them. Amen? It's God's manifestation. So when you see glory, you see manifestation. God desires manifestation in our lives. His glory to shine in our lives. There were plenty in the Old Covenant. There was manifestations of God's glory throughout the Old Covenant. A guy outran a chariot one time. People were raised from the dead. A young king slayed a giant with just his slingshot. There was a lot of manifestation in the Old Covenant. But now that we are in the New Covenant, those manifestations are going to exceed what was in the Old Covenant. Why? Because now we know who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen? So the manifestations of righteousness will far exceed those of the Old Covenant. Turn to someone and say, get ready for your manifestation. In fact, it's already in you. Healing is already in you. Joy is already in you. Love is already in you. You know, prosperity, it's not out there. It's already in you. He's given you the ability to get wealth. It's already there. It's already in you. Peace is already in you. Why? Because of your effort? No, because of God's grace. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what, man? I'm telling you, you just need to get ready because it's showing up whether you like it or not. Praise God. It's showing up. It's going to show out. And you're not going to have anything to do with it and have to give God all the glory. And say, Lord, I know it wasn't me. It was all you. Amen. Showing out in my life because I'm a grace believer. Amen. I've got favor on me. What is grace? Grace means favor. Favor showing up on your life. Wherever you go, favor is surrounding you. Favor surrounds us like a shield. Hallelujah. Wherever I am, favor is. Even at Walmart, favor shows up. I get a front parking space. Favor. Thank you, Lord. And when that favor opens up in your life, don't forget to give God thanks for it. And recognize, Lord, it wasn't my effort doing this. It was all you, not me. Favor showing up on your job, opening up that door. You're out there trying to sell something, been working on it, and all of a sudden, God just gets involved with it, and all of a sudden, it just goes so easy, and you say, thank you, Lord, that was favor showing up. You need to recognize favor in your life. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, favor is yours. Quit stressing about it. So the ministry of righteousness reveals to us that God is our Father and Jesus is our elder brother. And the Bible says, just as he is in 1 John 4:17, we are. Hallelujah. Let me show you an Old Testament scripture with a New Testament slant to it. Would you turn to Isaiah 60? Isaiah 60, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 5. All right, look at this. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Turn to somebody and say, I'm not in darkness any longer. Arise, shine, your light has come. How many know that Jesus is the light of the world? And the Bible says you are the light of the world. Amen. You're no longer in darkness. You've been brought out of religion into light. Amen. Arise and shine, your light has come, and the glory, the manifestation of the Lord has risen where? Upon you. God's glory is upon you because Jesus is in you. Oh, that's good, man. Darkness will cover the earth. Now, you know, I hear this all the time. Oh, Pastor, it's getting so bad out there. It's so bad out there. People are going crazy, and people are, you know, and I just smile because they don't know what I know. And they're going, man, this world's terrible. It's going to hell in a handbasket. And, you know, everybody, they don't know what I know. What do you know, Pastor? I know something they don't know. You know what I know? I know that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So no matter how bad it looks out there, I know grace is abounding. Hallelujah. Grace always overcomes sin. Grace always overcomes darkness. Grace always overcomes defeat. Amen. Where it may be bad out there, I know something that they don't know. Grace is abounding. Hallelujah. Man, you need to turn off some of that stuff and start realizing grace is abounding. Man, you can't stop this either. Turn to somebody and say, you can't stop it. Amen. It's God's plan. God's plan of grace is being revealed in these last days to open up the eyes of people to see what they have, to see the power that they have within them. And that's what the scripture was saying here. Said that God's glory is being manifested on you. Why? So people can see Jesus in you and God's grace in you. Hallelujah. Woo! It said, God's grace will rise on you. The glory of the Lord will rise on you, and his glory will be seen on you. Now listen to this. The Gentiles will come to your light. The Gentiles will come to your light. Speaking of the church here, the body of Christ. The body of Christ, he's saying Gentiles will come to the body of Christ, to that light. People are coming because they're tired of being whipped and beat on. They're tired. People don't go to church. The reason the majority of people don't go to church because when they walk in the door, they feel worse going out than they did coming in. They've been beat on. They've been hammered on. They've been told about a God that's mad at them. They've been telling them that if you don't repent, you're going to fry and burn. Turn or burn, baby. You know, repentance is a change of a mind. It's not about shedding all these tears and, you know, wallowing down. No, it's a change of mind. Yes, there is godly sorrow, but it's a change of attitude. And people are saying, man, I want something that's real. I want something that's going to relate to me. I want something that's not going to tear me down but build me up. And I'm going to tell you what grace does. It always builds you up. God's love is always building up. Now by faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is God's love. God's love never tears down. In fact, the Bible says God's love covers a multitude of sins. Turn to somebody and say, God's got you covered. In fact, not only are you covered, you're forgiven. And that's why you can excel in anything that you do, because you are forgiven. And when you understand that power of forgiveness, all of a sudden you rise up and you say, you know what? I've got a champion living in me. I've got somebody living in me. His name is Jesus. And because he did all things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's got nothing but good and favor on your life. And you start believing that and change your mind to what God says about you and to what Holly was saying, somebody else's opinion about you. God's grace is reigning in your life. Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching right to you, and he's preaching better than your amen in right now. He said, listen. He said they're going to come to your light, and kings are going to come. I was talking about a king today. This man, you know, money rules. Do you realize that? This man's a king, and God's opened up his heart to the grace message, to the gospel message, and he's a giving man, amen. Kings are going to come to the grace message, amen, because they see something that's real and something that's tangible, and it's not religion, and it's not all this do's and don'ts, and they're going to rush and come to it. You know, God is just doing an amazing thing. Hallelujah. Woo. Then look at what the Bible says. Then you will see. Turn to somebody and say, open your eyes. You know, the greatest thing you can have is a revelation of who Jesus really is and what he's done for you. God, open our eyes. You know, he turned to Peter when he said, who men say that I am? And Peter said, hey, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. It takes a revelation of God's grace and opening of your eyes, of your insight, because so much of us have been tangled up in this mindset of religion so long that we don't know how to really do. And God says it's not about doing any longer, it's about done. Amen. Just chill, relax in me, and watch me work. Hallelujah. Then you will see, and your heart will be in awe. And fear means worship. Your heart will be at worship. When you see fear in the new covenant, it's about worship, amen? Your heart will be at awe, your heart will be in worship, and it will be enlarged. Listen, the abundance of the sea will return to you. That's people. When you see sea in the Bible, it's people. The abundance of the sea will be turned to you. Your kids are going to be saved. Amen. They're going to be believers. Your grandkids are going to be believers. Your great-grandkids are going to be believers. Man, oh my gosh, I love this scripture, Lord. And the wealth. Somebody say wealth. Does that really say wealth, Pastor? Yeah, I think it does. And the wealth. Turn to somebody and say, God wants you to be wealthy. And the wealth You can do more with money than you can without money. Hello, I said you can do more with money than you can without money. You know, we want to go down to Guatemala and rescue a baby. You know what that takes? It takes M-O-N-E-Y. It takes money to do that. And you can do more with it than you can without it. Amen. God doesn't mind you having it as long as it doesn't have you. In fact, you can have a bunch of it. Praise God. Amen. As long as it doesn't have you, God just wants you to be a channel. He said, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. We got someone in our church here, a lady that, I mean, if you heard her background, you'd think, wow, where did this person come from? And God has just made her an entrepreneur. She has just developed in housing and different things, and God has gifted her, and she is a channel that God flows through. Amen. And if God can do that for her, he is no respecter of persons. God can do it for you. Turn to somebody and say, I'm ready. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah. To arise and shine is to move away. Arise. Change your present position. Change your present mindset. We change our position in ourselves to a position where we are in Christ. Change your position by start changing the way you think and seeing yourself. See yourself as God sees you. God sees you as Jesus, blessed, favored, full of power, full of anointing, able to do all things. God sees you now as Jesus. Amen? Jesus in you. That's what God is looking at. He's not looking at your shortfallings, all of these other things that we are prone to look at after the flesh, but God sees you after the Spirit now. Start changing your position. Get a different view of who you are. Quit hanging around with them people that are going to bring you down. Some of you hanging out with some folks you shouldn't even be hanging out with. They're not worth your time. They're not adding value to your life. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching to you right now. There's some friends that you need to let go because they're holding you back from changing your position, from changing your thinking. There's greatness in you, and all of a sudden you want to hang out with the turkeys when God called you to be an eagle? Woo! Somebody say amen. Come on. Man, there's a lot of turkeys out there bring you down. They just want to gobble you up. They want to keep you right where you are when God has designed for you to excel. Man, that's a good word this morning. Somebody needs this. God's designed you to excel, and you just keep hanging around going back to the same chicken coop. You know what I found out about chicken coops? They stink. You ever been downwind from a chicken coop? Down in Arkansas where I grew up, they had chicken farms. And if you were downwind on a hot day from a chicken farm, you are not in the right position. God does not want you hanging out with the chickens. He doesn't want you downwind of them. Man, you start soaring with some eagles. Find you some eagles. Even if you have to pay to find them, find them. I talked to a guy the other day that knows this multimillionaire, and they got talking one day, and the guy looked at his shoes and said, man, your shoes look really great. They're really, like my brother said, they're really shiny. And he said, well, you know, I shine. He said, I'm going to ask you something. Would you mind coming to shine in some of my shoes? And the guy said, absolutely. So he went to the millionaire's house. This is a true story. This was told to me the other day, and it was told to me by the guy that did this. He said he went to his house, and he said, you know what? He had 100 pairs of shoes. He said, I sat there with that guy, and I shined every pair of his shoes. And while I was sitting there shining his shoes, he was talking to me about life and success and how to be successful and how he became successful. He said, I want to tell you, it was the greatest 4 hours of my life shining those shoes, the value that I learned from that one guy. Sometimes you have to pay in order to gain. But it's worth the price. And some of you, you've got such greatness in you, and you haven't even realized it and know it yet because you keep going back and hanging at the chicken coop when God says, I called you to be an eagle. I've got favor on your life. Great favor on your life. Extraordinary favor. Oh, man. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. The glory of the Lord is the manifestation of God breaking out everywhere. Hallelujah. Folks, it's breaking out everywhere. I'm telling you, God's grace is just breaking out everywhere. It's manifesting everywhere. Amen? Wow, the abundance of wealth is coming to the Gentiles. This prophecy tells us that we are now receiving the harvest the enemy previously blocked from us because of the condemnation and ministry of the law. We will now reap everything that's been sowing, amen, that we've been sowing. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 5:20. The law entered that offense might abound, but where there's sin abounding, grace abounds. Much more abounds. It's abounding in our life. We've already seen an increase of grace in our lives. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad for the increase? Amen. I'm glad for the increase. Look at Psalm 118:23. Hallelujah. We will experience grace increasing in our lives. We will simply give God the glory when he does it. Amen. This was the Lord's doing. It's a marvelous thing in our eyes. Turn to somebody and say, it's God's doing. God raises you up out of that place. Say, it's God's doing. Amen. God's doing it on my behalf. John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life in him. Before we believe, man, we were in darkness. We were living there. But God's light shined upon us. Hallelujah. He revealed his son to us. We came out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a transformation. The proper order of experiencing life transformation is identity first, then behavior next. Identity first. Who are you identifying with? Are you identifying with them chickens? Or are you hanging with some eagles? Turn to somebody and say, do you have chicken mentality? The proper order for experiencing life transformation is identity first, behavior next. When we believe our identity is rooted in Christ, our behavior changes. Y'all didn't get that. You just didn't get it, did you? When we believe that we are rooted in Christ, our behavior changes. So we've got to stop depending on our own self-efforts and start depending only on Jesus. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1:7, we have what? Koinonia, fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is the light, and if we're walking in the light, we are walking in Christ. This cleansing is a continual process. It's like standing under a fountain. That fountain, you get under the fountain or the waterfall, and you're standing under the waterfall. It's a continual cleansing when you're walking in him. God is continually cleansing you up. Aren't you glad? Man, that blesses me. I don't know about you. Religion focuses on how we walk and requires us to do something to be righteous. Christianity focuses on where we walk. Where are you walking? We're walking in him. How do you walk in him? You walk in his word. How do you walk in the spirit? Walking in the spirit is simply walking in the word. Amen. And it reassures us that what was needed has already been done. Not hard. Listen to this. The number one enemy of God's favor. How many want God's favor manifesting in your life? Everybody, don't you? Man, God's favor, opening them doors. Just here's the number one enemy. You want to know the number one enemy? Number one enemy of God's favor is to attempt to do something that Jesus has already done. Attempt to do something that Jesus has already done. You gotta rest in him and maintain your peace. So I told Lori on the way out, maintain your peace. Rest in him. Because everything, hell will come against you. But you can rest in him. Your emotions should not be the engine, but should be the caboose. Your emotions should not be the locomotive. Hello. But the caboose. If you got that reversed, you're in trouble. I'm going to say that one more time. Your emotions should not be the locomotive, but back here at the caboose. Too many times we're living up here off of our emotions, letting them rule us instead of letting the word rule us. Oh, that's good, Holly. Thanks for amen me, baby. We should, listen, don't forget the word that's taught. Studying is like looking in a mirror and seeing ourselves in what we have already. James 1, 22 through 25 tells us that we look into the perfect law of liberty. How many of y'all looked in the mirror this morning before you came? Come on, how many of you looked in the mirror before you came? Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad you did? Or turn to somebody and say, I'm glad you did. You know what? Why did you look in the mirror for? You looked in the mirror to see if you had what? A flaw. Right? You looked in the mirror. We always look in the mirror to see if we have a flaw. But when we look into God's mirror, we look at it differently to see our righteousness instead of our failures. To see our perfection instead of our faults. Amen? So when you look into the mirror, man, you look at it and say, man, oh, hey, this is not right. That's not right. Girls say, I ain't got my makeup. I hear that all the time. I ain't got my makeup right. When you have four girls in your life and had a girl dog, you know, it just happens to be that way, you know? So, hallelujah. Man, God sees, when we look in the mirror, start looking at who you are in Christ. All right, I'm going to try to stop here. Colossians 1, 12 through 14, and then maybe 27 through 28. We're going to try. Give thanks to the Father. If you want to really change your position, just start being thankful for what you got. Be thankful for, you know, if that husband's giving you problems, just start thanking God for him. In spite of himself, say, thank you, Lord. You know what? You gave him to me, Lord. You can take him out. Praise God. I'm thankful either way, Lord. Hallelujah. That's bad, isn't it? That's bad. I know. I'm sorry. Amen. But I'm thankful, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Thanksgiving is one of the highest forms of faith. And we're getting ready to enter Thanksgiving season, and people get thankful once a year. Actually, once a year, one day. Maybe for a few minutes. But really, we should have that constant attitude of praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because it takes the focus off of us and it puts it over on God, where it should be anyway. Because, you know, here's where depression starts. Depression starts when you're turned in and not turned out. I had a lot of conversations this week for some reason, but I was talking to a guy this week and said, you know, this girl I know, I said, she's a good girl, but she's always depressed. She stays at home and she watches TV and she just stays there and she talks about her problems all the time. And when he said that, I thought, there's why she's depressed. Because she's talking about her problems all the time. Thanksgiving is the place of power. I want to tell you, in fact, the Bible says, you know, God's address is? God's address is God inhabits the praises of his people. If you want to really experience God's favor in your life, start praising him for the little things that he's already done for you. Give thanks to the Father who has made us able to be partakers. Why are we able? Because of our efforts? No, because of Jesus, of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us. Turn to somebody and say, I've been delivered. From the power of darkness has no authority over you. No authority. And translated us into his kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been brought back by his blood and the forgiveness of sins. To whom God would make known the riches of the glory, the manifestation of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is God's grace upon the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of manifestation, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Y'all getting that? Christ in you is the hope of manifestation, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Where is he? He's in you, whom we preach, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, that we may present everyone, how? Perfect in Christ. In Christ we partake of all things necessary to life. It's there for us. We've got to believe his promises. Amen? If you believe, you will not be put to shame. When we are in Christ, we can do all things. To get grace to work for us, sometimes we need to just change the way we think. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Get out of the law. Man, I've got so much more here, Jesus. Amen. Wow, I'm looking at my notes going, wow, this is so good. You see, you all had an extra hour of sleep today. It's like, man, we're already now faster. We can go all afternoon. Praise God. We got punch out there. We got orange juice. And we can have refreshments. And we can break and come back. We can just have a conference right here. Amen. I won't do that for you, but anyway. We must move from a religion into a relationship with Christ. Can I show you this one more thing? I'm going to try. Look at Galatians 3:3-4. Wow. Gosh, Lord, help me. Are you so foolish? Having begun where? In grace, in the Spirit. Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? The flesh is efforts outside of faith. Expecting to get something, working for it. The flesh is effort outside of faith. When you're working for it, you're not in faith. How do you know if you're in faith? Because you've got life and peace in your life. All hell can be breaking out around you, but you're still walking in peace. Because you know God is more than able to do exceedingly above all that I ask or even think, according to the power that's working in me. Flesh is a carnal way or a sensual way of thinking. Flesh is a sensual way of thinking. Flesh is a sensual way of thinking. It's thinking or being led with our senses. What I see, oh my gosh, woo! What I feel, oh! What I hear, oh wow! What I taste, eh! Unless you taste and see that the Lord is good. So, you know, we talk about sensuality, that is being led by your senses. It can lead to sin, but it's not necessarily sin. We are not led by our senses. We are led by the Spirit. And the Spirit always leads us into life and peace. Hallelujah. Quit being led by your senses. Get the caboose, you know. Change that thing, man. Get that caboose way down there at the end. Be led by your Spirit. Be led by His Spirit. Amen. Stand this morning. I could go on and on. It goes on and on and on and on. I know. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. I'm just trying to help you out this morning, man, because some of us need help. Notice preacher raised his hand first, right? So, man, God loves you so much this morning. God's got nothing but good for you and your life and your family today. You know, let's stop being led by religion and by emotions, and let's start being led by the Word and God's grace in our life. God's saying, hey, manifestation's there. I want it to show up in your life, my glory, amen, showing up in your life. Would you just raise your hands up this morning today? And I want to speak to your heart and tell you, you know, some of these words went out for you today. Some of these words were, you know who you are. You know who you're hanging with. You know who you're allowing to have influence on your life. And you know what? You need to break some of that stuff off there, because that's not healthy. It's not doing you any good. You know, some of you really are sitting here this morning, God's got a great call on your life. Now, when I talk about call, people get all afraid. Like, oh, gosh, God's going to call me to be a preacher. No, not necessarily. There's much more callings than preachers. God's got callings for you, callings of influence, calling to make a difference in the lives of young people, calling to have impact upon this world, calling to be a millionaire, calling to have impact on others, calling to be such a blessing to others. It's not all about, you know, we think of a calling as a ministry. Well, it does become a ministry, but it's not necessarily a pulpit ministry. God's got things for you. God's got a higher place for you. God's got a higher purpose for you. Amen? You know, you may have to let go of a few chickens and some turkeys. It's coming Thanksgiving. I'm not telling you to kill them, but I'm telling you to let them go. Amen? Quit hanging around the barnyard. You know, God wants you to change that position, start looking up to Him, and start realizing what you've got in Him. Wow, you guys are so loved today. Young people, I'm telling you, if you're a young person here this morning, God's got greatness for you. Don't settle for anything less. Amen. This greatness, praise God. Say with me this morning, let's confess some things right here before we go today. Say, Jesus, thank you for the relationship I have with you. Thank you, Lord. I'm changing my position. I'm getting a new way of thinking. Lord, you value me. You value my life. You've got purpose for me. You've got a destiny for me. It's going to be fulfilled. Lord, I thank you today. I choose not to believe what someone else has said negative about me. Even my friends. God, it's time to let go. It's time to move on because you've got good for me. Today, I thank you, Lord, and I receive all your favor through grace on my life. Favor breaking out. Favor breaking out everywhere in my life. Everywhere I go, every person I meet, God gives me extraordinary favor. Not because of me, but because of grace. You got good for me, God. Good for my life. Good for my family. Today, I choose that good. I believe in it because Jesus lives big in me. Amen. Amen. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Why don't you find five people this morning and say, hey, Jesus lives big in me. Would you do that? Amen.
Living life's a stream.